You know how long it's been since we've done audio open lines? It's been months. It's been a frustration watching all that audio pile up. Now we've got a few that we can share with you here during this second part. First hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back. First comes a CNN story about religious license plates. Now, you've seen the vanity plates. Everybody has them. Anyone can get them. You can have anything, as long as someone else hasn't done it already, you can have anything on your license plate practically that you want. And then there are the plates that are maybe vanity in a different way. They are your favorite sports team. They might be the state that you come from. That's kind of the standard way of doing it. I think ours is Land of Lincoln or something like that, if I'm not mistaken, here in Illinois. What about I believe with a cross? A Christian license plate. Now, you can put the numbers may just be mumbo jumbo, but over the top of the plate it says, I believe, and on the side, there's a cross. One state's tried this. Another one is attempting it as well. Some say it's a violation of the Establishment Clause of the U.S. Constitution, establish no religion. It's a blurring of church and state. We'll hear a story from CNN. I want your reaction to it. 877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or email us here in the studio this Tuesday, the 8th of July, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. I said before, I wouldn't be able to tell you what's on my license plate, and I can't even tell you what the words above the numbers and the letters are. I think it's Land of Lincoln. Isn't Illinois Land of Lincoln? Something like that. That's innocuous. Lincoln was born here. He was a lawyer here. Go up to Springfield, rub his nose. They have a big bronze of Lincoln there. But I believe, doesn't say anything about the state. It does say something about your faith. Some Christians want to wear their faith on their license plates. Here's the story from CNN.
This is America's first religious specialty license plate that has been, the statute has been passed. One challenge that a couple of plaintiffs are making, and I think what's also interesting to note, the plaintiffs are Hindu, they're Jewish, they're Christian, so people of all faiths are challenging it. They're saying, one, it violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, and that's that separation of church and state. And the reason they're saying that is because the lieutenant governor in this case has offered to pay $4,000 to put it into production. So they're saying this is state-sanctioned. State-sanctioned activity.
So are they saying that they deserve equal treatment, that they should have their own religious symbols made available, or if they can't be made available, then this one's got to go?
Well, and that's the second basis. They're saying, you know, they're giving the Christian viewpoint an opportunity, but they're not giving non-religious or other viewpoints the same opportunity. And that's classic sort of First Amendment violations, or at least that's what they're alleging. And we got statements from both parties. The South Carolina Attorney General says, listen, the legislation creating the I Believe license plate is based on sound legal principles, and we are convinced it passes constitutional muster. So they're saying there is no violation here. On the other hand, the plaintiffs are saying these I do believe, I do believe these I believe plates will not see the light of day. And so there really are both just two different sides of the spectrum here. It's unbelievable, fascinating.
So we saw the sample license plate that we showed from Florida. That never saw the light of day.
That was shot down.
This one, as you said, has already passed. There's the sample license plate from Florida.
Yeah.
Very similar thing to South Carolina. This one's already passed, so now they're going after it after the fact.
Exactly.
Do you expect that this will suffer the same fate in South Carolina it did in Florida?
Well, you know, the same arguments were made in Florida, and it did not pass. They were saying this is separate. That there has to be a separation of church and state. And so I think it's hard to tell, but it is highly unusual that a government official is going to pay to have this take place, a $4,000 fee. So I think it is likely. I hate to guess, John, and you always put me on the spot, but I think it's likely that it won't pass. I think that the
lawsuit will
be... I'm
asking you to guess. I'm asking you to bring to bear your vast and storied legal... knowledge and...
My legal background tells me that this would be a violation and that a federal judge will probably strike it down. But we'll see, folks, if I'm right this time.
All right, there's the CNN conversation about these faith, could you call them faith-based, faith-expressing license plates, Georgia and Florida. Now, the one that they were showing was a basic license plate. Across the top it said, I believe... And then along the left-hand side of the license plate, there was kind of a fancy-looking cross. If your state offered one, would you get one? Should the state be allowed to produce, even by whatever means, a special license plate, special version of the state's license plate, for people who want to have, I believe, with a cross on it? We would think probably in most cases they're Christians. 877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 8th of July. If the state were to do this, and it were to pass legal muster, don't you think that they should have a license plate, a religious version license plate, for every faith that wants one? And Christianity isn't the only religion in the United States. We have Muslims, Hindus, Jews, Buddhists, Sikhs. What else do we have? We have Mormons. We have Zoroastrians. We have New Agers. We have atheists. Okay, that's an idea. What about a license plate that says, I don't believe, with maybe just the picture of a cross and one of those little slashes over it? I mean, if the Christian can have the license plate that says, I believe, with the cross, I would think that the atheist should have the license plate with the I don't believe, and maybe the cross crossed out. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. I've never been one for the vanity plates, to tell you the truth. My car is a tool. I must admit, I did have a political sticker on it that's still stuck there. And it's so old now, it's almost humorous how old it is to have a presidential sticker on the back of your car. And now it's kind of a running joke, so I haven't taken it off. But that's it. I've resisted the temptation throughout my life to express my personal views on the outside of my car. Some people want the vanity plates, fine and good. And some, in the states of Georgia and Florida, want the I believe plates. Should the state be allowed to produce these? And if so, should they accommodate every religion that wants representation with a special license plate? 877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, talk back at issuesetc.org. Barry's calling from Pennsylvania. Thanks for waiting, Barry. Welcome to the program.
Pastor Todd, I thank God that you're on the air. It's so good to hear your voice. I wanted to make a comment and say that in Pennsylvania, specialty license plates are common. And I've seen them for fire companies, for universities, for all sorts of things. I suppose as long as there's equal access, I think it might pass.
So if there's going to be one that says, I believe with a cross, maybe there would be one that would say, oh, let's just go with the atheist's version. I don't believe with the cross crossed out. Fair enough as far as you're concerned?
Well, in Pennsylvania, if somebody's willing to organize these, to pay for the production of it, they do it as a group. So far, I've never heard of anybody trying to get one that they've been turned down on. Now, I've never heard of any religious group trying to do it. But I think as long as there's equal access, which is going to give the druids and the witches and every other crazy group equal ability to do this. I'm not sure I like the idea, but I suspect it just might pass if everyone can do it.
Would you shell out the little extra money that it would take to get a Christian version of a license plate, a specialty plate, Barry?
You know, I would feel embarrassed if, let's say, I cut somebody off. Let's say that I become a jerk in traffic, which is fairly possible, though I try not to. And then as I'm passing him, he looks at my license plate and goes, oh, it's a Christian. No, not me. I'm not going to do it.
Barry, thank you very much, and thanks for listening to Pennsylvania. It's kind of like the Jesus fish, or at least that's what I call it, the Jesus fish that so many people have on the back of their cars. Okay, there's nothing wrong with having a Jesus fish on the back of your car, but don't be upset when someone puts the Darwin fish with the little legs or all the different versions of the fish that you might find on the back of their cars. But I've often wondered about that. I have been cut off in traffic on the dangerous Poplar Street Bridge between St. Louis and Illinois by a very angry woman with a Jesus fish on the back. It was not just a Jesus fish. It was a Jesus fish with the letters WWJD. What would Jesus do inside the fish? She was angry. She cut me off. And I had to, and she, sweet, I think probably in other respects, sweet little old lady, a little bit of road rage from the woman with the Jesus fish. Very raises a very legitimate concern. If you have the I believe with the cross and you're caught by the state trooper going over the speed limit. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. What about the rest of you? Barry says he's not going to buy one of these, even if they're available. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. When we come back from this break, we'll hear a story from National Public Radio. The Church of England, among the other things that it's doing to prepare for the Great Lambeth Conference that we'll talk about here in about a half hour on the program, has decided, I think last of almost every province of the Anglican Communion, to ordain female bishops. Now, they've ordained female clergy for a long time, but bishop is a different category there, and it hasn't been a decision that's been easily made or quickly made, although I must say that the American counterparts in the Episcopal Church USA, boy, they did this, I think probably back in the mid-80s, they ordained women for the first time to the priesthood in 1976, and it was not long after that that the Episcopal Church USA decided, hey, if they can be priests, they can be bishops too. Well, the Church of England just decided to do it. We'll find out more about that during Open Lines right after this. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned for more Issues, Etc. Will your church be one of the Issues, Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, look for the sponsors section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues, Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, Etc. 300.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Pastor David Maletti, Kimberly L., David Grassley, Bob Hiller, Gene White, Pastor Gregory Hinners, Katie Abercrombie, Patrick Casey, Robin Mensch, and Pastor Bruce Scarberry. Thanks for your support.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues, Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues, Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues, Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues, Etc. In just a few minutes here on Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc., we'll hear a story from National Public Radio on female bishops in the Church of England. They've been a long time coming to it, but finally they have. And some people think this is the trend of the future for churches all over the place. Not only female clergy, but female bishops. The Episcopal Church USA, by the way, has its first female presiding bishop After about 2 years, she seems to have done exactly what everyone expected her to do. We'll hear more about that in about 30 minutes if we talk with Keith Ackerman, who's the bishop of the Diocese of Quincy, about the upcoming Lambeth Conference in worldwide Anglicanism. Here's an email from Jared in Wyoming. He says, Indiana has faith-based license plates which read, In God We Trust, on top of it. It is one of the leading selling vanity plates in the state. While there was some discussion when it came out, the talk died down and the plates are still selling. In God We Trust. Now, that's different, I think, don't you? From I Believe with a Cross. You could call In God We Trust generically faith-based, but In God We Trust is, in fact, the official motto of, well, one of the official mottos of the United States. It's on our money. It doesn't seem controversial that it would be on our license plates, although I'm sure some people would make a fuss. Something different than a cross, which is specifically Christian, or at least something just struck me. Do you find it ironic that Christians who would fight tooth and nail, spend good money to get a cross on their license plate, don't even bat an eye when their pastors take the crosses out of their churches? Do you find it ironic that Christians who would go out and get a plate in Florida or Georgia that says, I believe, with a cross on it, as a license plate, when they go to church on Sunday morning with that very license plate on the back of their car, don't bat an eye when their pastor fails to mention the cross in his sermon? When they sing song after song on Sunday morning with no cross in them? When they pray prayers and do whatever else they're doing on Sunday morning with no cross? The crosses are all outside on the backs of the cars in the parking lot, but apparently not in church on Sunday morning. Seems ironic to me. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Beth in Cape Girardeau writes, here's my take on the plates. I've always been against school prayer because there would be no guarantee that the prayer would be a Christian prayer. So maybe it would follow that the plates should be non-governmental as well. Besides, the clever Christian can witness on a license plate without the state's help. I think she's talking there about the subtleties of vanity plates. Thank you very much, Beth, and thanks for listening in Cape Girardeau. That's always been my concern about prayer in public schools. What is the prayer? Is it a generic prayer to a God that is not the Christian God? Is it a prayer that could be prayed equally well with clear conscience by Buddhist, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, and Christian? If it is, then it isn't a Christian prayer. Daniel in the Twin Cities writes, why have a custom plate at a premium? You can get mugs, T-shirts, and many other items with your own image. Why not license plates? Would you, of course, filter out plates with adult content? Or, I'm sorry, you would, of course, filter out plates with adult content. They already do. But this would avoid much of the church and state issue that would allow the state to make a tidy little profit on those who wish to put their pets or whatever on their cars. That said, it's the standard plate for me, writes Daniel in the Twin Cities. Again, it's amazing. We're willing to put Jesus on the bracelets, the bumper stickers, the cross on the back of the car, the Jesus fish, the I Believe license plates with crosses on them. Meanwhile, our churches are being sanitized of the cross, not only as a symbol, but also as a message. And Christians go blissfully forth, parking lots full of churches with fish, cars with fish on the back. Let's hear the story from National Public Radio about the Church of England and their move to ordain women bishops.
The Church of England has voted in favor of ordaining women as bishops. The church's general synod, which is its governing body, decided it would end the tradition of male-only bishops. Traditionalists are strongly opposed to this move. And joining us now to talk about the decision is NPR's London correspondent, Rob Gifford. Good morning.
Morning, Renee.
Tell us more about this decision and how it came about.
Well, the debate has been going on for some time. 14 years ago, the Church of England decided that it would ordain women as ministers within the church, and reformers have been pushing since that time to take it up a step to allow women bishops. The debate last night in the northern city of York was rather emotional, as these debates sometimes are. The traditionalists have been pushing to have concessions put in place, if this were to go through, which it did, to allow super bishops, they were calling them, for the diocese who did not want to accept the leadership of a female bishop. And those concessions were not given to the traditionalists. The super bishop proposal was overruled. And so, in fact, what has happened is there have only been minimal concessions put in place for those who oppose women bishops. And this has really upset the traditionalists. One bishop said it was very mean-spirited of the reformers to not allow greater concessions for those who had very real objections to women becoming bishops.
We've been hearing for some time about a possible breakup of the Anglican Church over a different issue, that of homosexuality. Is this related? And if it is a split likely?
It is related, although this issue about women bishops is specifically for the Church of England in England. The Anglican Communion, the broader international communion in the United States, in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all of those local Anglican churches have already approved women bishops, but the Church of England hadn't. The issue of homosexuality is a much broader international issue that has included all of the Anglican Communion, and many people feel that it is actually a more controversial issue because it's dealing with issues of sexual morality, and it's a much more emotive issue. Some people say they can accept women bishops, they cannot accept the ordination of openly gay, non-celibate bishops like the Bishop of New Hampshire in the United States. So it's all part of the same cracks that are appearing in the Anglican Communion, but it's affecting the church in different ways.
Now, all of this comes, Rob, just weeks before the big 10-year gathering of Anglicans. It's known as the Lambeth Conference. How is that conference likely to be affected?
Well, it's already been affected by the issue of homosexuality. Some traditionalist bishops have said they are staying away from the conference. And certainly this new schism within the church is not going to help as the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, tries to hold the Anglican Communion together. One bishop said yesterday it was really a bad time to have this debate yesterday, just before the Lambeth Conference. But it's happened, and it's added a further schism to the Church of England and to the Anglican Communion. And I think this year's Lambeth Conference is going to be a very difficult one indeed for the Archbishop of Canterbury. As more and more cracks appear, he's going to find it more and more difficult, really, to hold this whole Anglican worldwide communion together.
Rob, thanks very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Renee.
Okay, let me explain something as quickly as I can. I only have just about 2 minutes before we go to the break, and until we're joined by Bishop Keith Ackerman of the Quincy Diocese to talk about Lambeth, worldwide Anglicanism, and what's going on in the second largest segment of Christendom on the planet. While I sympathize with those who want to see a line drawn in the sand between ordaining women and ordaining female bishops, I sympathize with them. It's hard to have too much sympathy, because the very same method of biblical interpretation that gave them, and I should say it's illegitimate biblical interpretation, that gave them female priests in the Church of England or in the Anglican Communion is the same that must give them female bishops, and is the same that must give them openly gay priests and openly gay bishops. If you're going to disregard this passage, that passage, reinterpret it, say that Paul was misogynist or a homophobe, you are going to end up with female clergy, female bishops, gay clergy, gay bishops. If you mishandle the Word of God and disregard one passage, you don't have anything to put the brakes on those who are going to mishandle other passages. The same logic that gave churches like the Anglican Communion the ordination of women to the priesthood is now giving them, sad to say, the ordination of openly gays and lesbians to the priesthood and to the bishop's office. We'll talk more about that on the other side of this break with Bishop Keith Ackerman.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.